Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mystic Records Radio. Today we are doing a tribute to the Mentors. And I just have to say that, you know, they changed history of music. You know, their show was meant to shock people, and it did. And they actually started out in like 1976 in Seattle, Washington, and then later in 79 went to Eric Carlson's texting me, come on, Sicky Wife Beater, I'm going to play your song. Okay, so without any further ado, here we go. Having Sicky's Baby, the Mentors. We'll get the history later.
This song is called Having Sicky's Baby.
There's something wrong with that recording. That's way too slow. And what's happening here? A little bit of problems here on the soundboard. Okay. So it looks like we have Doug Moody on the line. And Doug Moody's here to help us talk about the Mentors and how they all came to be. And woohoo! Hi, Doug Moody. How's it going?
Hello there, love. Candace is my world within a world. She handles everything to do with the internet. So if you're out there listening to this radio show, it's by courtesy of Candace because this is her world. And she lives on 140 acres and protects wild animals, except those ugly, great 300 to 700-pound pigs that attack her whenever she goes for a swim. And she does not allow anybody to come and kill the wild animals on her land. I think she's quite a marvelous person. And I've known her since the 70s when she managed El Duce. He was the Mentors, and she was booking the Cathy de Grand, which was a defunct Chinese restaurant on Selma, just a block down the road from from the studio, and we ran telephone wires in there, and we recorded everybody live at the Café de Grand, and Candace filmed everybody. She was a little girl running around in a black short little leather black thing with studs all over it and a camera. She had a camera everywhere she went. She filmed everything. So one day about, 5 to 6 years ago, Candy, I hadn't run into her.
Well, actually, I was carrying Video Lewis's equipment. Lewis held the cameras. Yeah, he actually held the cameras. I would set the shows up for him to come in and film.
Video Lewis filmed
Video
everything
Lewis,
at
yes.
Mystic. He's wonderful. And to this day, he's still our supporter, and he films everything we do. Even when I opened up going to business with Cobraside, which is our new distributor, he was there to film it, and that's 30 years later, he's still filming. Anyway.
Yes, he is.
I'm welcome to your show. Thank you. We're going to talk about the Mentors coming to Hollywood.
Yes,
and originally,
yes.
They were not called the Mentors. They were managed by a young man called Philip Raves, who had a dog that fell in love with me, Cosgrove, and moved in with me and left Philip. And Philip became part of Mystic, and along came the El Duce. Now originally in Portland, Oregon, where they came from, they were in high school, and they were called the Rape Band, R-A-P-E. Now,
which stood for?
Okay, rape in their language is rapacious assholes pissing on everybody. So they were playing rape music, which was their music where they pissed on everybody. But they meant everybody who was in power. They were against power. They sang songs about rich men having girlfriends and family. They were quite different. They had songs about the wealth that controls America, rather like RKL, who says U.S. steals steal, and they S-T-E-E-L, S-T-E-A-L, steals from you. And so, you know, they were aiming at the big, powerful people who run the world and run the country, big pockets.
And they really upset a lot of people.
I fell for
yeah.
their lyrics. I like
yeah.
their lyrics. So
Lisa Boucher,
wasn't
Lisa Boucher their former manager?
No, I didn't run into any of that. What happened was that Philip Raves brought them into the studio, and I promised to record them. Philip took them into a studio and recorded them, and we lost, in traveling, we lost the LP that Philip first produced on the Mentors. So what happened is we had to throw together a recording equipment, and they were playing that night at Whiskey
the
Go-Go. Again.
And the Whiskey,
no,
yeah.
That was later. That was later. The first night they played for Mystic was at a party we held at Whiskey a Go-Go, and we recorded it all. That was their first recording for Mystic.
1983, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
So we recorded them, and there's an original album somewhere out there, and I bought from them for $50 a 7-inch record, which had never been made into a record, but was recorded by El Duce and the Rape Gang at high school. So the first recording was the Rape. When they came on Mystic, I said, no, we can't have this rape business. And they were interviewed, which I'll tell you later. They were interviewed by a Hollywood magazine that interviewed why they played rape music, and why were they called rape bands? So we changed
yes.
the name to the Mentors. El Duce, who had always been called El Duce, I thought that was too dictatorship. And he said, well, my headmaster told me, I was a mentor when I left school. He said, you're the mentor teaching everybody to misbehave. So El Duce said, I liked being a mentor, so how about calling the group the Mentors? And so that's how actually the Mentors were born, because El Duce had been called the mentor by his headmaster. So let me turn the radio back to you, and I'll tell you more as you ask me. Good morning and good afternoon, wherever. And Candace is a wonderful person to know in life, and she understands why I started Mystic as the voice of young people who want to be heard. You will never be alone if you listen and read the lyrics out put out by Mystic. You are never alone. There's someone in there like you. And we do not use electronic music. We are not out to control the world. We're out for the world to love each other and support each other and listen to each other. So Mystic Records is proud to have Candace do everything she can do to for us to reach you out there through the internet. You'll go.
Well, thank you.
You'll go.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you. And the first Mystic record that the Mentors were on was called The Trash Bag, and it included that 1983 live at the Whiskey A Go Go. Yeah, and
an interview.
And let's see. Oh, and the 1985 live at the Café de Grand.
San Francisco.
Yeah, in San Francisco, and I have that. Yeah, that was the 7-inch, and I have a clip from that. I have that album on the turntable right now, so why don't we clue in here and spin some vinyl?
Yeah. All right. Time for some rape rock.
Sure, a lot of fun. When you
I just want to butt in here for a minute and say that, you know, the Mentors didn't really achieve notoriety till like 1985 when this album came out with their congressional hearings orchestrated by Tipper Gore's parents at the Parents Music Resource Center. And the Mentors caught the attention of them with their song Golden Showers, promoting some of the its lyrics on the congressional floor, introducing inducing perils of uncontrolled laughter from all those present. Anyway, here we are back to the album.
My favorite pastime is going through your purse. I know that there's a lot of sluts out there that make plenty of good fucks. Well, hey, babies, our gigs haven't been paying too good lately. Nor has our record sales. And, baby, I need to feed my big fat beer guts. And speaking of big and fat, why did God invent big fat women? So faggots have something to dance with!
Okay, well, that was side one of the album, that their first album that put out. And like I was saying earlier, they started in 76 in Seattle, Washington, moved to Los Angeles in 79, got hooked up with Mystic Records, put out their first EP in 83. But, you know, they were all attended Roosevelt High School together in Seattle, Washington. And nobody ever makes a mention of their former name of the band. Boy, they've had quite a great lineup of past members. Jeff Dow, Chris Jacobson, Mike Dewey, Ed Danke. I remember Ed. He played with them a lot at the cafe. And Jeff. And, you know, Mad Dog. Oh, I remember Mad Dog, too. And, you know, currently Steve Roy is heading the band with Cousin Pfister and John Christopher and Eric Carlson. I invited Eric Carlson to come on today, but he's at work and can't make it. So I tried to play Having Sickie's Baby, but listen to this, Doug. I think I got it on too slow. Listen to this for a second. Oh, hey, we have another caller on here.
Hey.
Hi, who do we have on the line?
Video
Lewis.
How are you doing?
Fine. Hey, it's good to hear from you, Lewis. So we're playing some mentors tracks and doing a little bit of history. And we were talking about me carrying the battery packs for you to film the shows around here and there. And I know you filmed the mentors quite a few times, and I'm sure you have a few mentor stories to tell.
Yes. Well, I knew El Duce from the cafe way before I ever saw the band. So here was this person you'd see, while a band's playing, he'd get up and do some things and hold his arms up, and he was funny, and people, the guys on the band would throw him off the stage, the teeny stage downstairs at the cafe, and everyone would laugh, and they'd go on and play, and he'd walk around and act funny, and I've got him on video doing that kind of thing. He'd do things like, men are superior, and he'd hold his arms up. Stomach would be hanging off. He'd be in like he'd be in shorts that every man is wearing these days, all these guys wearing shorts. El Duce was the first person to walk around with shorts all over the place in Hollywood. It's pretty
funny.
Right?
Yeah.
And I went and talked to him, and he was a wonderful person, and partied with him and stayed at the cafe all till 6 in the morning getting high with him and friends and going to his apartment that I always say it's like this Ed Sanders, I think of the Fugs, and he had an album called Beer Cans on the Moon, and El Duce's apartment was Beer Cans on the Moon, just nothing filled with empty beer cans. Is pretty funny, and he's always wonderful. A wonderful regular person who, when girls would hold him by his hands and pull him through somewhere, is not what people think, that he's an evil person. No, never. Wonderful, fun person. And when I saw the mentors play at the cafe, I was just killed with happiness and laughing my head off. The lyrics are so outrageous. These days, they are totally me too and bad, but pretty funny. So wonderful
right.
band,
well, yeah.
Great guitarist, Eric, fantastic person, wonderful friend.
Yes.
Siggy Wifebeater, Eric.
Yes, Eric Carlson, yes, he's a great guy. He's actually listening in. He wanted to come on the show, but he's at work, so he's just listening in. Hey, Eric, nice to see you, or listen to have you listening into the show. But,
I grew
up
in North Hollywood. And he was living in North Hollywood, so it's like we're all buddies when we met and talked and partied at his house and stuff. So, the last time I saw him was at, of course, more recently at a little place that's a newer version, of course, El Duce being passed away, played at a little record store on Highland in Hollywood. And, just like old times, how are you doing? Haven't seen you in years. We're all having fun.
Sure.
Great guy. Great band. The music, the lyrics, people are thinking absurd, but they're totally hilarious and funny.
Well,
it was
all an act, and
definitely.
They were all really nice guys, El Duce used to be kind of like a protector of me at the Cathay de Grand nightclub in Hollywood, and, as controversial as his lyrics are, he would not cuss in front of me, and if anyone was around me and started cussing, he would clear his voice and he'd say, "You're in the presence of a real lady here, and there will be no cussing." And I've always been proud for the fact that he used to say I was the only true lady in Hollywood. And for a man who made a living at introducing strippers at the Ivar Theater, I felt
Rich.
That was quite a nice compliment,
Have you talked about politics involving, of all bands, the mentors, by famous people? To this day, they're famous people. It's called the Gore family, like an Al Gore who was vice president with this global something. And then his wife. Tipper Gore. There was even a punk band for a while in Orange County called Tipper Gores.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Tipper
they
Gore
were good
did something.
Too.
Tipper Gore, the president's current wife, vice president's current wife, Al Gore. He was vice president. You still have to call him that, I suppose. And his wife did something. And in one of the people he did it to was El Duce and the Mentors. What did she do? Tell the people.
Well, they had the congressional hearings with the Parents Music Resource Center.
And why would they have congressional hearings? Over El Duce or over what?
Over his lyrics. And that's basically what got the parental guidance put on music for explicit lyrics so that...
And this was by this person who says that we don't have enough freedom, and other people who are running the country like now don't give a living a sense of freedom. But they were one of the first people to take people's freedom away many years ago, the Al Gores, and I don't have to mention who they represent. So there's my politics of the day, people. Think where everything is now and how evil someone with lyrics are, us punk rockers.
I know,
right?
That's a joke, because Lewis loves punk rock. He's been in punk rock forever, and that's a little bit of sarcasm right there, because, you know,
right.
even Doug Moody, who's on the line too, knows that, you know, punk rock sets the platform for people to say what's on their mind, and it gives them the freedom to speak about changes they want to see. And, you know, for the Mentors to have, you know, the explicit lyrics they have, you know, you have to understand Eldon was introducing strippers in Hollywood, and, you know, their songs actually motivate you to want to do things in a good way, you know, and not to be like that. I mean, it was all just a stage act, you know, and sadly
well,
enough,
I have a little thing that I just put out of one of the songs, because I have this thing I must have done years ago where I put a bunch of edits together, and so I just put them up on the internet as I edited a long time ago, and the song they were playing is "I Don't Want Your Herpes." Now, what is really wrong with that? Because you don't want somebody's disease, a sexually transmitted disease. And he's saying that, but he's saying it in a way that's sort of funny to get the message out. Honey, I don't want your herpes. And it's hilarious, but it's really a message. It's real. And other songs he has, oh, you know, maybe a little bit negative and evil in some people's minds these days, but they were just funny, making fun of things, right? That's El Duce.
Exactly, you know. And
did you talk about
speaking,
the Cold Seat show? I think you did.
I didn't yet. Go ahead. Okay, I can start it off.
I think one thing I didn't do with Eldon was I didn't know that they went on something called the Hot Seat, some Orange County guy. And he put on these weird TV talk shows, and El Duce went on. It was called The Hot Seat. So he said
Wally George,
to me,
Wally George, right.
He said to
Wally
me,
George,
why
yes.
don't you, yeah, he said to me, why don't we have a show? So we started on Tuesdays with your help and everything.
Thank you.
Of doing a show at the Upstairs Cafe in 1985. Well, we brought on guests. You got so many great guests, so many crazy people. Actually, Harley's coming into the... And it was a show where he just was El Duce and brought in guests of the punk rock scene, such as Tequila Mockingbird and all these different people. I can't think from one of these seconds, you know. And he just made jokes with them and party with them and stupid stuff. It was nothing serious. It wasn't like a talk show, but it was like a talk show. It was like his music. Comedy.
Yes.
Serious.
Yes.
Absurd.
And we did everything that was at that time, you know, taboo, you know, sociably.
Nazis,
just,
motorcycle
oh, yeah,
gangs.
We had
yeah.
the Nazis against the
real Nazis.
Yeah, we did.
They were real Nazis. They said
they were
Nazis.
Yeah.
They had the armbands.
Yeah. Ruthie.
They were nice.
And,
they were nice people. I suppose they were nice because we were white.
Yeah, well, you know, Ruthie went and got in a fight with a girl just before the show started, and that wasn't very cool. You know, she was an African girl. But I know. I think my favorite show was when the boys rode their motorcycles in either Dora the Cafe and
right.
the Grand, and then pulled up alongside the stage upstairs there, and they were El Duce's bodyguards. That was a fun night.
It was. So he did a little show, and it's on my Vimeo, or you can look it up, I suppose. I don't know if you could find it displaying putting El Duce's cold seat, but if you go to lapunk13.com, lapunk13.com, that's my website, and you can go follow where to go see all my videos that I did from 1984 till now, I suppose, including lots of mentors and lots of other punk bands, as we did. And it was all,
yeah.
But the mentors is always my favorite. Funny, Eric Carlson's guitar playing is outrageous. I don't know why he doesn't
great.
Get, like, an award.
Yeah, he's
so, I mean,
really
it wasn't
top.
Just a funny band. It was a fantastic band.
Yeah, he's a really great guitarist.
They played at the Fenders. They played everywhere, right? Okay, I want to let other people get on now, so I'm going to hang up, right? Is that okay? Have any other questions?
You don't have to hang up. You can stay with us. You know, it's good to hear from you, Lewis. And
right, I got to go help my son with some stuff.
Oh, okay.
My son recycles stuff, so we have to go down to Sun Valley to make a little bit of money with recycling paper and cardboard and stuff that he collects from his regular job. Now, let me put this here. My son's had a regular job, like a mailroom job, for 20-some years. And he has an idea that all the stuff that they waste in offices is not wasteful. So he'll make $100 or $200 every week collecting cardboard and paper
right.
and white paper and all
yeah.
that. And
sure.
I want to say one more thing. One more thing is he's borrowed from his IRA or some shit like that, and he bought himself his own Tesla car, his own electric car. Now, the funny thing
nice.
About that is my son, back in the 90s, did an interview at Galpin Ford with a General Motors representative with one of the first EV1 cars made by General Motors. He made a documentary back then, and he's waited all this time, saved his money, and he's got himself his own little car. Yet he goes right now in a few minutes. We're going to be down in Sun Valley with everybody else with cardboards and a pickup truck making money. That's punk rock.
There you go. Right on, Lewis. Well, thank you for joining in, and
we love El Duce. We love Eldon.
Yes, he was a great guy. And
he's a great guy. I always remember him as nothing but positive, wonderful
yeah.
person. The band, the people, Mr. Lomas, I don't know if he's listening right now, another great guy who came in and did like Insect and Acid with El Duce and stuff like that, and another member of the band there. And there you go, the mentors, people. So,
all
Candy,
right.
you're wonderful for putting that out, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Lewis. Glad to have you on. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right. So, how are you doing, Doug Moody? You still with us?
I'm still with you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can. We got cut off a little bit earlier.
Oh, well,
sorry about that.
That's okay. As long as I got on just to say welcome to Lewis. I haven't seen him in ages, but God, it was so wonderful to have a refreshing person like Lewis. Is so full of punk, so full of freedom, so full
yes.
of being an American, and he films it wherever he goes.
Yes, he does. He does. And
the word which I'd like to add to him to say, that's something about Mystic. And the reason Candace helps me so much is because my reason for starting Mystic was to be the voice of young people who do not want to be captured by the internet, captured by robotism, and end up being button pushers. You are not alone. Your voice is being sung, spoken in the lyrics of Mystic. You are not alone. Mystic is not trying to change the world. Mystic is a platform where voices are heard that don't want to be disenabled by laws, disenabled by wrong judgment, by wrong government. Mystic is a freedom stage where you can speak your mind. As long as I live, and I'm going to be 90 this year, and Candace will continue it even long after I'm gone. Get out there and manage your life and be part of a world that speaks your language and acts accordingly when it says freedom and when it says love each other. Go out there and prove it's possible, because that's the reason Mystic is there. That's all I'll say.
Well, that's beautiful, and you've been putting out music a long, long time, and you're not going anywhere for a long time, so we plan on having you around for a long, long time. So I do have a song here that you asked me to play, and this is Police Hotel. Are you ready for Police Hotel? Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you the story if you want me to.
Well, let's hear the song first, and then we can do the story. How about that?
I'm all for it.
All right.
Listen, everybody, you must understand. It's happening outside the Cafe Pequod. Beer is too expensive and you're poor. So head down to the liquor store.
Better listen now. Are you going to be in a cell? In the police hotel.
Torpedo of Colt 45, the dinosaur fuel will keep you alive. Then head back to the parking lot and put your skinhead drinking gut rot. All over the stinky block, skinheads, blue hairs, or a mohawk. There's cops and helicopters everywhere. They will kick your butt, they don't like your hair.
Yeah.
here giving you the real story of the mentors from all of us who were there at the time. And I know Doug Moody has a little insight on how this song came about. Police Hotel.
Well, what happened is we were doing a compilation, which I invented in the 50s, put all my hits in one record, and invented a compilation, which I used to launch bands in the 70s here. So the put all band different bands on one LP. So when
it's good,
the mentors,
it's good to get a little taste of each. It's good to get a little taste of each band. I mean, gosh, you've got the Party Animal 40 bands. You've got the 60 bands.
Yeah.
You know, 60 bands on one LP, that's amazing.
You're doing the mystic world of punk, and you're putting bands from all over the world on a CD, and you've got 20 or 30 bands on one CD, a world of punk. I think you're doing wonders. Anyway.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Anyway, the thing is that Eldon came in, and he had this song, and he had a bunch of people around him, Philip and musicians, and they were in the process of writing Police Hotel, which was for a compilation called Copulation. It was all a salute to the police and their misbehavior. So we made Copulation. And
good album.
Huh?
It's a good album. I did a Copulation 2 of the newer bands.
Yes. Well, here's what happened. El Duce, drunk as usual, was in the studio, and he wanted to sing live, and the group all wanted to join in because they were all writing the song. In all, there were about 8 or 9 people involved in writing this song, all on scraps of paper, all very drunk. So I thought, okay, let's record it and see what happens. Right in the middle of the recording, El Duce did one of his acts of putting his leg up over an amp and peeing. And the pee was dripping down his leg and his boot and was going on the amp. And I thought, my God, any minute he's going to electrocute himself and we'll have a fire in the studio. So I shut down all the power right in the middle of the song. So I told him, hey, look, you know, you go take a leak, and then we're going to clean up this mess. And then I finished the recording, so I had a complete recording with the band, but only half a lyric with El Duce, who by this time was coming out of his drunk and yelling he needed more booze. And he used to sleep upright in a closet. We had a big closet.
Yes, he did.
And he'd go in there with all his booze and bottles and stand upright and sleep. And we had to put a lot of newspapers on the floor because while he slept, he peed. That's a fact. I mean, it's true. He was a very unusual man, but a brilliant mind. Brilliant. When you talked with him, it's incredible how his kind of thinking unfolded into music. So, anyway, after we get all reorganized and we've recorded the band, everybody's in the control room, and I said, behave yourself. Everybody's going to sing and join in. And so Philip almost became the conductor, and I told him, where Eldon is singing, don't everybody shut up. But when there's no singing, everybody can join in and sing Police Hotel. Well, everybody started singing their version, and there's like 8 versions being sung at one time of Police Hotel, and I just suffered with this. And finally, when the song was finished, we looked at it and said, good enough, that's it. So that's how it was recorded. The half was recorded in the studio and then stopped because he was going to electrocute himself, and then we finished it off and played it back over speakers in the control room with everybody yelling and shouting and carrying on. And so that's how a recording session is with Eldon. You never knew what to expect, never knew how he was going to behave, but in all, it was because there's only one Eldon Oak. And by the way, the first recording that you talked about, we called it the trash bag because he wanted it out on the street like a few days after we had recorded it at the Whiskey A Go-Go. It was called the trash bag because all we could do was put it in a plastic bag with a printed picture of the band. Well, we did manage to get it out. It's called the trash bag, and the cover actually is a picture of Eldon's belly, big fat belly, with him squeezing it. It's a picture on the record, and the record is a 45 speed. All early Mystic 12 inches were 45 speed. Some of them were even 10 inches because they were made on old 78 presses because the it was cheaper to make a 78 press than it was on the new presses. So a lot of early Mystic records are twice as loud as 33 speed because they're recorded at 45 speed and pressed on thick vinyl like as if they were 78s. So that's a rare record you're talking about there, that trash bag, a very, very rare record. Okay.
Now I know what I did when I tried to play it earlier. I had it on 33 speed, and it was way too slow. And I had to stop it because it's like, no, that's too slow. I had to yank it off. I was playing I'm Having Sickie's Baby, the song. And, it was just way too slow. And it's like, I knew there was something wrong there.
All the early Mystic records are 45. If you see a label and it says, M for Mystic, 12-inch 45 or 12-inch 33. So I try to keep everybody and tell them which way it's going. The early punkers wanted the loudest record possible, and on 45 speed, you are loud, okay?
This is true, very true. Well, and, you know, I have another song here. Let's see if I got the speed right on this one. This is Rock'em Sock'em. Let's see if we got the speed right here. So I had to make it into a WAV file for the internet.
This next song, we dedicate to Sicky Wife Beater here.
I think you're okay.
Rock'em Sock'em!
Yeah, that's good. I finally figured out what I was doing wrong.
Yes.
To get all my joys, I got drunk, so high on some booze.
Okay, well. Yeah, there we go. That was the one live in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. I gotta interject something here. You remember you talked about the Ivar Theater?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he, during the day, it was a stripper joint. And on weekends,
right.
It was a la-di-da Hollywood theater with all people dressed up and doing things on weekends. But every day during the week, Eldon was dressed in a dinner jacket with no back. It just had elastic holding it up. And in front was a dinner jacket with tails, and he would play the drums and give a running MC, like master of ceremonies, of what the girl was doing and how she was doing it. And it was fun to watch because Eldon was almost like W.C. Fields in his glory, sitting at these drums, yelling at the girl, take it off, come on now. And there they were, dancing to his tempo and stripping with a motley crowd in the audience, from punks to drunks to down-the-road people, you know. It was the funniest scene in the world, is to go over there and spend a half an hour just listening to Eldon and watching the girls do their stuff and everybody in the audience and looking at the audience and saying, this is the most mixed-up crowd I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you know, he did a lot of comedy, and Lewis when he was on recently, just a few minutes ago, he was talking about the Cold Seat show that I helped put together at the Café de Grand.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Wednesday nights were getting kind of dull there, so Michael Brennan, the owner, asked me to liven it up a bit. So, you know, Eldon was really funny. He had a great sense of humor. He could ab lib so well. I would write a basic monologue for him to start the show off with, and he would just go into it, and everybody was laughing, and it was fun. And got a few good write-ups from the LA Weekly. They suggested if you had nothing to do on a Wednesday night, head on down to the Café de Grand and check out the Cold Seat.
I think it's wonderful. Yeah,
it was fun. And Lewis has them on videotape. And, I would love to see those again. I haven't seen them in years. And the one with the guys with the motorcycles, oh, my gosh, they had beautiful Harley-Davidsons. And one rode in the front door along the bar, and then the other one the side door. And they came right up to the stage, and they were his bodyguards for the night. And that was another fun show. And, you know, I tried to do something really controversial all the time, you know. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. He was great to work with, and very respectful, very nice person. And, you know, it's sad that in 1997, I believe it was, he died shortly after a show, was struck by a freight train while he was intoxicated. And, I know it had to have been an accident. He would not have done anything like that on purpose, but it's just a shame that, you know, there was also evidence that it could have been foul play, you know. So nobody will ever know.
I've never known El Duce. Darling, I've never known El Duce, as drunk as he was, not to be in control of himself. And
exactly.
That I doubt whether it was an accident. I think somebody wanted to control the rest of his life, whatever it was. I don't think it was an accident. I think there was foul play right along. I have never seen El Duce, and I've spent days with him, and he's been drinking from morning to noon to night. I have never seen him not in control of himself. So, you know, that's my personal objection to saying it was accidental.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just a shame that it happened, because in real life, anybody who actually knew him knew that, you know, what he did on stage was just an act. And in real life, he might have done some pretty controversial things around some people, but, you know, even Cassie Sahagan, our waitress there, we had one waitress for the whole nightclub. Well, a lot of the other girls in punk bands used to help, too, but she said that he tried to get snippy with her once, and she put him in her place, and after that, they got along just fine, you know? And when he recognized that someone... like a woman was a lady, he treated them as a lady, you know, and
yes,
he gave
I agree
a lot
with
of respect.
That. Totally, totally.
Yeah, he did give respect.
He was able to control his emotions and his thinking. He may have sounded like he was the world's biggest drunk, but this is one of the most brilliant minds I've ever come across.
He was brilliant, and it's a shame. We love you, El Duce. We know you're out there in rock and roll heaven. We're looking down on everything, and, you know, we hope that you found some peace in your life, and, you know, we miss you, and, you know, glad that Eric, Sicky Wife Beater, and Steve Boy are keeping the band going and playing shows. They played a show just last night at this place. Oh, I forget where it's at now. Anyway, they play shows all over. They even came up here a couple years back to Redding, California, and I got to see them all. And wow, it looks like we just ran out of time. We're no longer live. So I wasn't watching the clock. Sorry about that, Doug.
That's
but
okay.
It's still
okay.
Recording.
Call me when you can.
Well, the show is still recording. It's just that we're not live anymore. So
okay.
Anyway,
so call
I would
me when
like
you
to,
can.
I would like to
what?
Thank you for coming on the show.
I would like to thank you for having me on the show, and to reconnect with Video Lewis is a world breaker. That man is so knowledgeable, and he is so, I don't know, bountiful in giving his time and his filming to my project and now your project of letting the kids have a platform to speak their mind. And tell
yes.
them, you are not alone in this world. Listen to the lyrics. There's somebody out there thinks like you, acts like you. You are not alone. So, you know, enjoy Mystic Records, because it's there for you to feel that there's somebody like you in this world out there. We are not alone.
That's right. And we want to spread the love everywhere, and thank everybody for tuning in. And don't forget to party or go home. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.